How are y'all doing? Good. Well, I'm so excited to be here. Pastor Tim, a while ago, asked me to speak on this next subject. I'm a hold the mic person. I just gotta. Okay, so a couple weeks ago, Pastor Tim asked me to speak on this next subject, and I was so excited, and I just really believe that God is going to really minister to you on this next subject, because this is definitely part of God's heart right here, and it needs to be part of our hearts. Amen? So I'm going to read a scripture to you, and then we're going to go ahead and pray. I want you to turn into your Bibles. Anybody have your Bibles? Do people still carry Bibles anymore? You got one? Hey, got one in the car. Digital is fine as long as it is the word. Amen. Because I use my laptop all the time, my phone all the time, a little app. Anybody like Bible Gateway? I love Bible Gateway. Bible Gateway is awesome. What other Bible websites do y'all use? Bible Hub? She Reads Truth. She Reads Truth? Okay, She Reads Truth. I'm going to look that up. As long as it's Jesus, as long as it's holy. Okay, Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to be coming from two translations today. The New Living Translation and also the ESV. Anybody know what ESV stands for?
English Standard
Version. Okay, so I'll be using both of those respectively, so bear with me on that. But Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to start in verse 23 and read through verse 25. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. This is the New Living Translation. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Let's pray. Well, we just thank you, Father, for your word, and that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Well, we thank you that it pierces the joint, Father, pierces the marrow, Father, pierces every part of us, God. So, God, you know those secret things in our hearts, God. You know, Father, what's going on, Father, in those places, the things that we don't even see this morning. So we ask you, God, and we surrender to you. So I just want you guys just this morning just to lift your hands to Jesus and just place your hand on your heart. And that just represents those deep things. In my faith, I just want you to repeat after me and say, Dear Jesus, speak to me. Amen. All right, that was a deep prayer. Okay. So today I'm going to be talking about engaging others to the glory of God. Engaging others to the glory of God. It is so important, every one of us, to understand that God desires us to be in relationship with one another. And when Pastor Scott was up there preaching, I was like, amen, that was such an awesome segue. I was like, ready to take the mic then? Like, I'm ready to go up there. Because he ended, I don't know if y'all heard that, but he ended talking about the importance and kind of explaining the importance of having relationships with one another. And so in this Christian walk, we need relationships. And so this passage of scripture talks about that. And I want to start in verse 23. It says in Hebrews 10:23, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. The first thing that's important as far as engaging each other for the glory of God or to the glory of God is to understand that our hope, our affirmation, and our trust must be in Christ and Christ alone. That has to be the forefront of our relationships. Has anybody ever been in a relationship, and I'm not just talking about romantically because that's going to come later, the session after mine, but has anybody ever been in a friendship or been in a relationship or whatever where you have been disappointed? Come on, let's preach. It's okay. I know I have. And there's a young lady, and I'm just going to be real with you, that I love to this day, dearly, dearly love this girl. And I mean, we were like, you know, talking and sharing and like had crying moments. I'm like, I finally got a friend. Thank you, Jesus. I got a friend. And then, I mean, your girl, she just stopped being my friend. And I'm like, and I'm one of those people, if you know me and you know my personality, I absolutely love people. Like, my sister can testify, if I go to Walmart, this is how I am. Like, I talk to everybody and the mama. Okay? Are we together on this? I mean, I'll go to the cashier, and she may seem sad. I'm like, oh, how was your day? She's like, oh, it wasn't good. I'm like, really? What's wrong? She's like, my cat died. I'm like, the cat died? What happened to the cat? And we just have a whole conversation, and then I pray with her. We receive ministry. Then I'm like, let's go get coffee. Like, that is just me. I love people. And so this girl that I had a relationship with, we were really cool, and then it came to a point where confrontation had to happen because it was something going on in her life, a relationship that she was in that was not a relationship of integrity. So me, I was like, okay, and I kept trying to ignore it, you know what I'm saying? But you know when the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, he's like, I'm like, what, Lord? I'm liking my friendship right now. He's like, tell her that relationship with that boy is not integrity. Okay. Hey, how you doing, friend? Tell her. So I'm like, okay, either you start getting all super spiritual, like, oh, Lord, give me an opportunity, Jesus, because right now is not the opportunity, you know, I need, and then all of a sudden, God gives you an opportunity, you're like, oh, we're in the car by ourselves, we're hanging out, oh, you know, and me, I'm married with two kids, and, you know, I'm always with my husband and my kids, I never really have a free moment, unless my sister's babysitting, love you, thank you, want to babysit tonight? Okay. But anyways, so, you know, unless somebody's babysitting my kids, and like, this is like the rare moment where my husband's not home, the kids aren't with me, I'm like by myself, like, this never happens. So I'm in the car, I'm like, oh, the Lord's like, Della. So I was like, hey, Freddie, you know, like, you have different methods. People talk about the Oreo method, you know, I don't know if you've heard of that, but the Oreo is like, say something positive, then hit him. Then say something positive. So I'm like, you know I love you, friend. She's like, get to the point. Like, she knows me well enough. I'm like, you're a good friend. She's like, tell me what you want to tell me. And so I told her. I said, this relationship you're in, when I saw you with this person, and I'm just gonna be real with you, this guy that she was in a relationship that she was calling her best friend is married. We're gonna talk about it. We're gonna talk about it. It was nothing sexual going on, but she called this person her best friend. But he's married. She's not married. That ain't the boof of life. And I told her, I said, sister, I love Jesus and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. But if I was that sister or that brother's, excuse me, wife, and I were to walk into the house of the Lord, and I were to sit and see you just by yourself talking to the man of God that the Lord blessed me with and I committed to and everything, it would be a problem. You're messing with fire, sister. And I just had to be real. I said, no married man should be your best friend. I love you. See, Oreo method. Hey, friend. No, no, don't do it. I love you. And do you know, the girl stopped talking to me. Sorry, Pastor Tim, I dropped the mic. Another one bites the dust. You know what I'm saying? But I had to be real and I had to be honest. And so in that situation, even though it was hard for me to tell her the truth and to tell her about that relationship that did not have integrity. See, relationships, it doesn't happen where all of a sudden you hear a pastor, a man of God, fall. It doesn't just happen like that. One day the pastor just falls. It's little foxes that spoil the vineyard. It's little things that friends aren't honest with each other about and don't confront because they're scared they're going to lose that friendship. And if your relationship is not based upon these three things with God, hope in Christ, affirmation in Christ, as well as trust in Christ, you will not have genuine, real friendships. And every time you make yourself vulnerable with somebody, you're going to shut back and say, you know what? Forget that. We all need relationships, and it has to first be in Christ. And I'm telling you, it is a hard thing. It's hard. It's hard, but you know what? You have to be able to make yourself vulnerable. So that's the first thing I want to tell you, is that you've got to have your hope in Christ, your affirmation in Christ, and your trust in Christ in order to have relationships. As I was thinking about this, I was just thinking about how some of you all this morning may have hurts from the church. And this is just really heavy on my heart, is that some of you maybe legitimately, okay, have had somebody, a leader, a pastor, religion, hypocrisy, whatever it is. You know, I love to evangelize. I love it. I love to talk to people about Jesus. And most of the times when I come to minister about the gospel or tell them about Christ, especially in college age students, when the number one reason why people don't want to get saved is what? Church hurts, because the people are what? Fake. Hypocrites. Oh, yeah. You know, I had a pastor that failed. I had a girl tell me that one of the pastors, I know this will shock you all, right? But tried to have sex with her. In the church. I mean, not like in the church, but, you know, he was in the church. I don't doubt that happened, okay? I mean, I'm sure. But my point is that we have to understand that our rock has to be Christ. And some of you have backed off from the church. When we have to understand that the car is not the issue, it's the person driving it. Let me break it down. The issue is not the church that you have the issue with. It's those people that have hurt you, okay? That's the problem that we need to pray for. But you've generalized the church, and you've backed off from the church and said, I don't need them because of those apples that have spoiled the whole barrel. Does that make sense what I'm saying? That's like somebody getting in a car, and they're driving. They're driving. Hey, 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 we driving. Oh, to Miami. You're from Miami, right, brother? Steven? Okay, from Miami. I'm driving. Going to Miami. Okay, hey. And then all of a sudden, you know, and it's not your car. You know what I'm saying? You in the Enterprise and got that weekend special. And so you in the car. And the crazy thing is you didn't get insurance like you knew your mama told you to get the insurance. But, you know, I don't want to spend the extra $30-something dollars. Okay, so all of a sudden you're driving in the car. And then out of nowhere, I mean, just like you was just singing to Jesus, hey, going to Miami. And all of a sudden, a car hits you. Boom. You spin around. And first, you just like, am I alive? You're excited you're alive. You're happy you're alive. But then the reality hits you. Somebody just hit a car that's not mine. And I didn't get insurance. So that's like you getting out of the car. And the car that hits you, you start screaming at the car. Car, I can't believe you hit me. I can't believe you hit me, car. I can't believe it. You know, I didn't have insurance. I didn't have this. I'm so mad. I'm so angry. And the person outside the car looking like, But you're mad at the car. You're mad at the vehicle. Is the vehicle the thing that did it? Is that structure the thing that hurts you? Okay. It's the person that was behind it. And really, the person that's behind church hurts. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Who do we wrestle against? The enemy. The enemy wants to scar you for life. He wants to scar you. He wants to get you in a wreck. He wants to mess you up. Because if he can mess you up, you're not going to have covenant relationships. You're not going to have people in your life because you don't want to get hurt. And this is a tool of the enemy. I want you guys to turn. And there's just so much I want to say. Let's go ahead and turn to 1 Samuel 1. Let's go ahead and turn to 1 Samuel 1. If you're there, say, I'm there. I like to sing y'all randomly. I do. It's just a joy of mine. I love to sing randomly. Okay. 1 Samuel chapter 1. So to kind of set up the scene here, there was a lady named Hannah. Anybody heard of Hannah? If you haven't heard of her, I'm going to introduce her to you. Hannah was a woman that was barren. That means that she could have not have what? Children. And even in our culture and society today, some people will probably count that as a blessing. There was a girl that all these friends, thank you, Lord. I think because I love people, you just take a risk. But anyways, I had another friend, okay? And so she got married, and I just remember her saying, I'm never having kids. Not because she couldn't have them, but because she didn't want them. And that's our culture today. Pastor Tim and I were talking about this probably a couple months ago. There was an article in Time Magazine, how our culture has changed and how people really just don't want to have kids. You know, let me get married. Let me enjoy my little life. Let me travel. This kind of goes with Pastor Scott was saying, idolatry, our ideas and things like that. But back then, y'all, it was not like that. Like if you could not have children, you were shunned. You were shamed. If you cannot have children and you were barren, it was not a good thing. And some of you guys here are barren. That's why you came here today. You're crying out for God because you know there's something inside of you that's got to be conceived. It has to be birthed. You're saying, God, I know there's more. God, I know there's more that you have for me. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's like you feel like you're about to burst out the seams. Like, God, it's just something you have for me. But God wants to impregnate you. And some of you have in the past been like Hannah, where you've cried out and nothing else is satisfied. But the enemy will come, even in the church, and use leaders to try to stop you. But it's all about your attitude. Let's read it. We're going to testify. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Chapter 1, verse 3. Okay. I'm going to break this down. It says, each year, Elkanah would travel to Shiloh to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of Heaven's army at the tabernacle. The priests of the Lord at the time were the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. On the days Elkanah presented his sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to Peninnah and each of her children. So just to break it down, Elkanah had how many wives? He had two wives, okay? Peninnah had children. Verse 5, and though he loved Hannah, he would give her only one choice portion, excuse me, because the Lord had given her no children. She was barren. So Peninnah would taunt Hannah and make fun of her because the Lord had kept her from having children. Year after year, it was the same. Peninnah would taunt Hannah as they went to the tabernacle. Each time, Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. Why are you crying, Hannah? Elkanah would ask. Why aren't you eating? Why be downhearted just because you have no children? And God bless the man. But he responded, you have me. Isn't that better than having 10 sons? And some of you have been in the church and you just know there's more. You know there's more. And there's things in your life that you feel have been dead and barren. And that's what Hannah is here. Nothing was satisfying her. And look what happened as we continue in verse 9. Once after a sacrificial meal, again, this is 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9. Once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. So she feels as barren as she knows she's barren. She wants kids. She prays. Eli, the priest, so he was a man of God, right? He was in that position. He was in that authority. was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow, "O Lord of heaven's army, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut." So she's here. She's praying. She's seeking God. She's in the house of the Lord. And that's where we are this morning. We're here. We're seeking God. We're praying. Some of y'all, this is your time coming back. You've been in the church. But this is what happened to some of you. And you reacted either one way or the other. Let's continue. Verse 12. As she was praying to the Lord, doing the right thing, Eli watched her. A man of God, as we see, he was a man of God. If you read about who he was, his sons were trifling, but he was a man of God. Okay? So he was sitting there. Just imagine we're in the temple, we're in the house of the Lord, and a college student maybe comes up, starts crying out for what God wants to do. That's Hannah. And look how he responds, because he watched her. So he's watching, casting what? Judgment. A man of God is casting judgment. Look what happens. Verse 13. Seeing her lips moving, but hearing no sound, he thought she had been drinking. And look what he says. "Must you come here drunk?" he demanded. "Throw away your wine." Some of you, literally, in the past, have been in churches, and men of God have simply shown that they are human. And because they have shown that they are human, men of God, women of God, that just represents authority, you have backed away. And this was a critical time for Hannah, because there was a barrenness inside of her. She knew that God wanted her to bear children. She had a desire, and everything else was shut up. God didn't give it to her, but he was testing to see, are you ready? Is your heart open to receive, to handle the fruit, to handle what I have for you? Man of God, you proposed to Alexis. And I know you're probably like, I wasn't expecting her to say that. I respect that. Thank God for that. And that's an example. But you know what? It's going to be tested. It's going to be tested. And I don't know your story, but I'm sure you can take the mic and tell your story. How that happened, how you met, or how you persevered, what you did just to get the ring. Amen. There's going to be situations in life, whether it's the finances like we talked about, where there's a thing where you know God has more for you to step up by faith. But people are going to come and they're going to cast their judgments. And you have two ways that you can react. You can either say, you know what? Forget that. These people are judging me. They don't even know me. They don't even know my situation. They don't know what happened. They don't know the background. You can get an attitude. And I'm telling you, if Hannah decided to do that, she would still have died a barren, lonely woman. But look what she decided to do. Verse 15. "Oh, no, sir," she replied. "I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I'm very discouraged, and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think I'm a wicked woman, for I have been praying out of great anguish and sorrow." Respectfully and in order, she told him what was going on. Some of us, if we were in that situation, first of all, we would have gotten up, wiped our tears, and cut somebody out. Just left. Just be real. If not with our mouths, with our minds. And you would have, at that moment, you may have still been coming to church, but in your heart, you would say, forget that. I know I'm supposed to be here, But these people I need to be in relationship with, this authority God's placed in my life, forget that. And as you grow in Christ, you're going to get closer and closer. For us here, our youth leaders, Pastor Tim and Gina, and God has given me the opportunity, because Pastor Tim is my boss, one of my four bosses, but he's one of my bosses. And I have the opportunity to serve them. But you know what? I see that he's a human being. He and his wife are human. And as you get closer to leaders, some of you guys, whatever, you're around me or whatever, we're not excusing sin, okay? But you will realize that people are human. And this is why that first point even remains even more, is your hope in Christ, is your trust in Christ. Is it there? It has to be there. But look how she responded. She responded with grace. She was real. She told the truth, right? But she didn't build bitterness in her heart. And look how Eli, first he was mad, talking about, you here drunk up in the church of God? Throw away your wine. And then all of a sudden, in verse 17, it says, in that case, Eli said, go in peace. May the God of Israel grant the request you have asked of him. Your blessings are dependent upon how you respond in the moments of judgment. It will happen. Men of God, it will happen. Some of you in this room have a sexual past. Men and women of God, some of you in this room, and especially there's a man in here, I just feel in my heart, you have a sexual past. Whether it's been people in the church you've slept with, whether it's your past in college or high school, maybe molestation, I don't know what it is, God knows. But people have judged you because of your sexual past and the relationships that maybe didn't work out. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Don't let the judgmental eyes stop you from your blessing. You press through. And God will send you the right woman of God at the right time. Don't worry about what they say. And your desire and your heart is to prove them wrong. Don't let anger fuel you. Remember, we want relationships. We want ourselves, as Brother Tyler preached earlier yesterday, we want everything we do to do what? To give God glory. Let giving God glory be your objective, not to prove people wrong. Amen? And I'm telling you, he's going to bless you. 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 So how do we respond when authority, when people tell us things that we don't agree with? Some of you, I remember I was in church the other day and I told some young ladies, I said, we're praying right now. Could you be quiet? And the attitude was, I'm grown. You know, that's kind of the attitude, like, who are you telling me I'm grown? See, how do you respond when people tell you things? How do you respond in those moments? In authority, bosses, your boss tells you, and you know, it's like they pick on you because they know you saved. You're not going to say nothing. They just know you feel with Jesus, and they just know. Now they don't mess with the crazy one. Everybody got a crazy one at their job. They know not to mess with them because they may actually light something up, hurt somebody, might even kill somebody. So we ain't going to mess with her, okay? But you, because they know you saved, and you got one of these, like they tell you something, you're like, anybody ever literally had to bite their tongue, like literally? Like you literally got to take the tongue and just... Yeah, man. Because they're not telling you to do anything illegal. They're not telling you to do anything immoral or unethical. They're just telling you to do something you don't want to do. Okay. And so in those moments, how do we respond? Because you don't know, the CEO could be looking at you that day. The CEO could be in the restaurant. You just don't know when your blessing's there. Hannah cried out to God, as she did many, many times. But look what happened in verse 18. She said, oh, thank you, sir. She exclaimed. Then she went back and began to eat again. And she was no longer sad. Some of you are filled with depression. There's no joy because you're so worried about what everybody else is thinking about you. Man, I messed up. My pastor thinks I'm like this. Man, you know, these girls think I'm like this. These guys think I'm like this. Some of you have dealt with homosexuality. Some of you have dealt with that. And you're just so ashamed and you're so consumed and they know you've dealt with that and maybe you still are walking through it because, you know, you're not in that lifestyle. But God has to change your mannerisms. God has to change how you interact. And you're so, it's just so much shame. I want to encourage you today to walk in freedom. Be the man of God God's called you to be. Be the woman of God God's called to be. He will send you the right mate. Man of God, he will send you a woman of God. Woman of God, God will give you that man of God. He will. He will do it. Don't worry about proving yourself to people. Walk in freedom in Jesus' name. Because people are going to criticize you. People are going to look at you. Oh, yeah, he still got that spirit. Oh, she wore black tennis shoes today. She didn't put on her heels at church. Okay. So there's going to always be people that will criticize. But you've got to walk in faith, amen, and say, I will not let your bad attitude affect me. God, I don't know what point this is, amen. We're going to continue. God wants you, amen, to be a thermostat and not a thermometer. Come on. I'm telling you, if I ever preach anywhere else, sister, I'm bringing you. Because you're encouraging my spirit. I'm like, ooh, that's good. I know it was that good, but praise Jesus. Ooh, I'm bringing you with me. You're going to be my sidekick. All right now. Come on, sister. That's what I'm talking about. Some encouragement today. All right. So a thermostat. What does a thermostat do? I think we got the general aspect of it. Okay. So a thermostat actually comes, is here already, is placed here already. And what does it do? It controls the atmosphere. It controls where it is. Okay. So I don't know where you are now. It may be your family. It may be your job. It may be the youth ministry you're a part of. You walk in here, you're like, man, is anybody saved? Jesus. Hallelujah. You get in somebody's car because you need to ride right quick. You know you're on campus, but you don't feel like walking because it's dark and it's just kind of scary. So you get in the car, you think this person like legit. And all of a sudden, the radio on, and they listen to some Lil Wayne, like, does anybody listen to Lil? She said, and I mean, it ain't the edited version. I mean, at least you're going to be wrong. Just at least get the edited version. Just came from Bible study, man. I mean, my spirit is being grieved. But it's like just the cussing. There's no beep is weird, you know? But what God will begin to do, and some of you are in positions with your family, in your jobs, some of you in positions in the ministry you're a part of. Let's just be real. Hallelujah. Praise him. Wherever you are, God has strategically placed you there to be a thermostat, to change the atmosphere. Glory to God. Young lady, your family, God's called you to change your family, to be a thermostat. To change your family. And it's not by our works. It's not by our power. You can literally come into a room and the atmosphere can change because he that lives on the inside of you is greater than he that lives in the world. He's greater because as we learned earlier, like Brother Scott had that diagram, the spirit of the living God lives on the inside of you. And yes, you're a work in progress. And yes, God's still helping you. And yes, you're still moving forward. But I'm telling you, God's going to use you to change your atmosphere. Amen. He will use you. And let me tell you what people in the church, we're bad at this, y'all, especially our family, because just like Jesus, they knew where we came from. They knew Jesus was a carpenter. So they would constantly bring up his past. You're just a carpenter. Do you not know the homosexuality you're in? I remember when you brought that boy in my living room. Now you're trying to tell me that pornography is wrong and masturbation is wrong? I remember when you were out there clubbing with me, cousin. And now you don't want to go to the club anymore. I remember when you were twerking before they called it twerking. Now they got a name for it because so many people doing it. I remember when you were like that. So now you're trying to be all holy. Let me see how long this lasts. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Let me see how long this holiness lasts. Oh, now you're trying to go to church. Okay. Son, where you going? I'm going to church, mama. Yeah, right. You going that little girl. Yeah, 2 weeks ago I was, but now I'm trying to do what's right. Okay, mama? Oh. That's why you can't worry about it. God will protect your reputation, amen? And in time, those same family members, when they see the light of God on the inside of you, those same college students you used to go to the club with and cheat. Oh, my. Girl, did you get you? Let me get this. Okay, teacher. Okay, somehow you stunk your phone and got the, I don't know. You cheated somehow. The same people used to cheat with, the same people. And even some of you, even those relationships, those people that you've regretted, that you've hurt, those that you did commit sin with, those you did have to say, I'm sorry, I can't be with you. You're no longer going to date out of obligation and stay with them out of obligation. You might not have the title, but you're saying, you know what? I don't want to let them go because I don't want to hurt them. You are not their God. I encourage you. Those that were in homosexual relationships, because that community, I have a lot of family, a lot of cousins that live a homosexual lifestyle. A lot of people, it's like a community. It's like a family. It's so deep. It's like a family. You will no longer be obligated to be around them and be with them because you don't want to hurt them. Let God change them. Let God do it. Don't become their God. Amen. And this is so cool what happened, because Hannah did what was right and she reacted the right way. Verse 19. It says in 1 Samuel 1:19, the entire family got up early the next morning and went to worship the Lord once more. Then they returned home to Ramah. When Elkanah slept with Hannah, the Lord remembered her plea. And in due time, she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, I asked the Lord for him. God will do it. God will do it. The thing you're crying out for, if you make a decision to forgive, you move on because they're ignorant. And the hardest thing, the people that can hurt you the most are those that know you the most, your family. Nobody can hurt you like your family. Maybe you used to go out with your mom, your dad, and now they see the change and they've rejected you. I want to encourage you, keep pressing. Because what God has on the inside of you, Kayla, what God has on the inside of you will come forth. And those same family members, we speak in Jesus' name that your mom will come in the fullness. Because of your lifestyle, you keep doing the spoken word, you keep rapping, you keep doing that, you keep preaching, she's going to be right beside you with her Bible. She's going to be your armor bearer. Amen. She's going to be right with you. What y'all did in the club, what y'all did together, ain't nothing what God's going to do. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jay, just begin to pray for her. I just believe God's going to begin to do it. In Jesus' name. We just speak it right now, Lord God. Healing of the heart. Healing of the relationship, everything that's broken. So not only did Hannah birth a son, and this is really cool, y'all. If you continue to read, she birthed more children. God will give you exceedingly, abundantly, all more than you can even imagine or think. As you begin to trust him and have your foundation on him and say, you know what? I'm not going to pull back from the church. I'm not going to pull back from the people that can help me get my blessing. You may think you're hurting me. You may think you're judging me. But you know what? As I continue, God's beginning to bear the things on the inside of me. I will become fruitful. I'll begin to see, as we learn the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I'll begin to see those things manifest in my life. And not only that, but God's going to give me exceedingly, abundantly, more than I can even ask, imagine, or think. Yes. And brother, I speak to you that your marriage will be blessed. I don't know your past, but you and Alexis are going to be blessed. You're going to move forward no matter what your past is, and God's going to use you. He's going to use you to see your family come to God, and also her family. In Jesus' name, we speak blessings over your family, over your children, and easy wedding planning in Jesus' name, because I've been married. I'll be married 3 years, and Tyler, over you too, in Jesus' name. Yes, I know my brother just proposed. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, because I've been married 3 years, and I still remember that planning. I just delegate. I said, you know, we here already, so y'all just do whatever. Amen? Hallelujah. That'll set you free. So bear fruit. Amen? So that's the first thing we have. That's the first thing. It's probably like the 15th thing. But, you know, with authority, don't let offense and don't let bitterness stop you from moving into what God has for you. Amen? All right. Another aspect that we're going to talk about, so that was authority, that was church hurt, that was people, because I'm telling you, the deepest hurt I've had personally has not necessarily been from my family, even though I've had hurt there, I have had deep hurts there, but it's been people in the church, because you expect them to be a certain way. You know what I'm saying? Like, in your family, you know they ain't saved. So you like, they cuss you out, you like, I'm saved now, so I can't cuss you back. But that's what you do. But it's when somebody in the church misjudges you, when there's confusion, when there's things that happen, you know this is a strategic thing of the enemy. But we do not fight battles flesh and blood. We know it's in the Spirit, amen? We fight the Spirit by the fruit of the Spirit. We fight the spirit of the enemy by the fruit of God living in our life, amen? And so that's something I've learned, and I've had to push through, and I've had to forgive. But there's other relationships that we have to understand that are so important, and we have to talk about that. And it's our relationships with others. It's our relationships with others. I have to say this, and I'm limited on time, but I have to say this, and I believe this is for each and every one of us here, me included. Ladies, you need female relationships. I'm going to say it again. Ladies, you need female relationships. Men, you need male relationships. Because of our culture, because of our society, because how the enemy has come and perverted, I believe that the tactic of the enemy through homosexuality has come in where if we see two females together, all of a sudden in our minds, we think that there's perversion there. Now, of course, the enemy can come in, and I don't have time to go through that now, but if you don't know that homosexuality is wrong, and I have assumed that you know it's wrong, Romans chapter 1 is your reference. It is in the New Testament, okay? So nobody can argue that. People say, oh, it's the Old Testament, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, blah, blah, blah. It's the New Testament. Hallelujah. All the Bible's good, but some people have those arguments in their mind. Romans chapter 1, read it. It's very clear. The homosexuality is wrong, okay? But because of this spirit, and I'll tell you right now, I hate when I hear somebody call somebody gay. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. Because gay is a positive word, you know? May your days be merry and bright. And there's something about you tied gay or something like that. Anyways, you know what I'm saying? There's... You got me? There's a Christmas song to talk about. Yes, there's something with somehow gay in there. But the point is, the Christmas song talks about being gay. It's not talking about being a homosexual, and it's not talking about being a sodomite. That's what it is. It's just called what it is. It's sodomy. So I hate when I hear that, because that's not what it is. You're not happy. You're not. And that is a term that God, it's in our English language. It's been perverted. But homosexuality is coming. And so people now, they're so weird about it. They're like, what you trying to do? Okay. You know, and so we've kind of drifted off from that. But ladies, you need relationships with other ladies. And let's go ahead and look at this scripture. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Let's look at that. Titus chapter 2. And we're going to look at the importance of having those relationships because they are vitally important. Titus chapter 2. And let's read in verses 4 through 7. I want somebody to stand up with some boldness and go ahead and read that for me. Titus chapter 2. We're going to read in verses 4 through 7. Okay.
Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands so that no one will malign the word of God. I think that's right.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good to me, brother. Oh, it's okay. That's good. We receive all the word.
So that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about
them. Amen. Thank you, brother. And this is the New Living. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and be pure, to work in their homes, to do good, to be submitted to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. So it's important that as women, we have women in our lives. And this is an excuse I hear all the time. And quite frankly, I can somewhat understand it, but this is a worldly mindset that has gotten in the church. This is it right here. This is a girl that hangs out with a bunch of dudes, okay? This is a girl that hangs out with a bunch of dudes, has no girls that are friends, none, but their little cousin that's like 10. Okay. A person of authority, let's just say I'm like that mentor in your life, I'm discipling you, I'm coming to you, it's like helping you grow, and I see something in your life, so I'm coming to you. I'm Sister Penny. I see you hanging around a lot of dudes. You know, you need women of God in your life. You need people. I tried that, Miss Jennifer. I have tried that, but let me tell you, and it is so true, especially on a college campus. You know what I'm about to say? Women are so messy. They so messy. I just personally, that's why I gotta hang around dudes, man. Dudes keep it real. You know what I'm saying? A dude, he gonna come to you, and if you don't like, he gonna tell you don't like it. See, and then they start getting dark in their voice when they start saying it. I'm like, okay. But you know, a dude gonna tell you if you like it, if you don't, he gonna come to you straight up and be like, look, I don't like this. And then that's a wrap, and then you friends again. But girls, oh my goodness, oh, you so my man. Oh, you think you cute. Oh, you got this, you got that. And I like your weave. I don't like your weave. You natural, you not. Okay, YouTube, all this stuff. So, you know, all this. So I know what you saying, but you gotta feel me. I hear you. But I want to encourage you, a strong encouragement, hallelujah, yes, that the Bible says, can somebody say the Bible says, that it's important that we have women in our lives to teach us how to be a woman. I'm sorry, ladies, but a man cannot tell you how to be a woman. And if you're hanging around guys all the time, then maybe they're dealing with something if you feel you're learning womanhood from them. You should not be learning womanhood from a man. That's out of order. Okay? Now, I'm not saying you get weird, okay? And every time you see a dude, you like, You're never going to get married like that. I'm just going to tell you right now. You're just going to be weird. You're going to be known as the weird one. Okay? Weird. Okay, she doesn't really interact. But I'm talking about everywhere you go, the women over here, the men over here, you consciously in your mind are saying, psh, bunk that. I'm hanging with the dudes. They're not going to sit like a dude. But you know what I'm saying. There's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with that. It says in Proverbs 18:24, my sister, you have the ESV. I want you to read that in ESV. 18:24. Take your time, my sister. Okay. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there's a man that sticks closer to a there's a friend that sticks closer to a brother. Who are those people in your life that's got your back? Who are those people in your life that you know without a shadow of a doubt in your mind, you know they've got you? And I'm going to tell you the order of relationships. Ladies, that does not need to be your youth pastor, a.k.a. Pastor Tim. That's a man. I'm going to call it out for what it is. You don't need to be, because I'm married. Now I understand. I've been married 3 years in February. Now I get it, okay? Let me tell you how it works. This is Miss Gina. This is Miss Gina right here. Sorry, Miss Gina. And this is Pastor Tim. Ooh, I'm going through something. Pastor Tim! Lord Jesus, I need you to pray for me. Lay hands on me, Pastor Tim. I need you to just... And Miss Gina right here, and you passed her up. You didn't even stop to say, hey, out of order. Why are you passing up the same respect? I don't care. The same respect you have for Pastor Tim needs to be for his wife. And I'm going to call it out for what it is because I grew up in the church, okay? My mom baptized me when I was like 6 months. I don't even remember that, okay? So I grew up in the church, okay? So I've seen it. I'm not just talking about this house. I'm talking about church culture that has to change. We as women have to understand that we need women. The Bible says what? And what do we learn in Titus? We learn that the older women teach the younger women. Pastor Tim should not be your first person, ladies. Men of God, Miss Gina does not need to be the person you go to or your best friend that's a girl. When you, and I know this is segueing to Pastor Tim's session, so I'm going to be respectful, but when you ladies and when you gentlemen, excuse me, have that best friend or vice versa, that's of the opposite sex and that's your best friend, you better understand that it's underlining dating. And I'm going to call it for what it is. BFF. Thank you, Miss Kayla. Three different, but of the opposite sex. And we're going to have time for questions. I'm sure there's some. But you know what? Your best friend should not be someone of the opposite sex. If you don't have a ring. Isn't that pretty ring? My husband bought that for me. Isn't that sweet? Oh, glory. He earned it. He paid the price. He paid the price. And even when we were engaged, I didn't disconnect myself from women. It was, help me, okay? Pray for me, because I'm trying to stay holy up in this thing, okay? Praise God, he kept me by the grace of God, hallelujah, okay? I'm just going to be real with you. Thank God he kept me. But it wasn't disconnecting myself from the body of Christ that I was able to remain a virgin until I got married. The grace of the Father. And I'm 30 years old, amen? So I was up there. I went, okay, hallelujah. Let's come. So you need other women. And men, a girl should not be your best friend because they cannot teach you how to be a man. So that desire. And ladies, these were just some points. And I don't want to sound like I'm being harsh on you, but I understand because I'm a woman. And men, I'm going to hit you guys just a little bit as well. The best I can from a male perspective. But this will help you guys too when you're looking for a woman. I'm sure my brother here, and give me your name, first name again. I'm sure Sean, when he saw Alexis, there were qualities in her that was a woman of God that stood out from the rest. Amen? That he saw some things. We all are work in progress. We're all still growing. But I'm sure he saw some things in her life. And some of you are wondering, why am I not moving forward in relationships? And again, Pastor Jim's going to talk more about this. But these are some things as a woman of God that you need to not do. And as a man of God, you need to be aware of. Okay? And if this is your little best friend that does this, well, then you need to, hallelujah. You already know, I already talked about this. Okay, so the Bible talks about that in order to be have friends, we must show our friend ourselves friendly. Women, are you a person that can be easily approached as a woman of God? Or do you walk around with a frown? You walk around with your hands crossed and you walk around wondering, she better not even try to talk to me. But you know what? Hallelujah for the deliverance. But listen, if you're like that, that's why you don't have friends. I wouldn't want to be your friend either. I wouldn't. And I love people. But if I come to you and I got the joy of the Lord, but hi, sister, how are you? Good. And on the outside, it looks like you're sedity. It looks like you're stuck up. And it looks like you're better. You think you're better than everybody else, but you're really an insecure little girl. Because you've been hurt. Because people have talked about you. But the thing about relationships, the thing about covenant, is that it hurts. You know the person I've been hurt by the most since I've been married? My husband. Does he on purpose come and say, I'm a hurter today? No, because that is the closest person I've ever been to in my life. I have never been that. We are literally one. And so one little thing could hurt me more than somebody literally taking a knife and punch me in the back with it. But you know what? That shows that we're in covenant. And if you have not been hurt by a relationship, if you have not been hurt by a friend, by someone that you love, then I question if you're really in relationship and covenant and community with other people. Hurt and vulnerability are hand in hand. You've got to let your guard down. But I'm going to get hurt, Miss Jen. I tried hanging around those guys. They don't understand my past. They don't understand me. That's not my personality. You've got to be vulnerable. You've got to let the guard down in order to come into relationship. So ladies, are you approachable? How does it look when a girl comes to you to talk to you at youth group, gathering, whatever ministry you're a part of, and then a guy comes to you and you go around the guys or whatever, and you're just, you went from like mean bugging the girl to the guy come, what kind of reputation you think you're gonna get? A flirt. Okay? Let's just be practical. And you wonder why nobody like you. You've got to let your guard down. You've got to say, you know what? I'm going to make myself vulnerable. And something that I mentioned about men, in my notes, I hadn't told y'all yet. But in Titus 2, when it talks about that in verse 6, Titus 2, verse 6, in the same way, encourage the young men to live wisely. Encourage the men to live wisely. This is why I believe why some men don't come into covenant relationships. And I wish y'all I had like literally 5 hours. Y'all ever preach? I'm sure Mr. Tyler understands, Brother Tyler. You have so much inside of you. You just wish you had like 10 hours. I'm like, ah! But I'm trying to be obedient. I'm going to be obedient to my authority. And I'm going to end in 5 minutes. Jesus help me. Okay, so encourage the young men to live wisely. A lot of times why young men do not get in covenant relationships, I believe, is because of pride. When it says to encourage young men to live wisely, that means that there's correction, there's help, there's guidance, there's assistance And what that means is you have to humble yourself. So let's say Mr. Tyler comes to Sean, and I'm just putting y'all out there because I know their names. Keep using y'all over and over. Okay, so comes to Sean and says, you know, Sean, look, I know you just got engaged to Alexis and all this stuff, but you really got to start coming back in the brotherhood. Like, we need to have some time together. We need to fellowship. You're pulling away too much right now. I know that's your girl. I know you're about to get married. There's a lot going on. We need that accountability. Pride would say, man, this is my girl for life. I'm about to marry her. Who is he to tell me? I know he just got engaged and everything like that. And he's trying to think of y'all that and all that and stuff like that. But you know what? I need to spend time with my boo. See, that pride comes up in men's life to say, I've got it going on. I don't need your help. So that's what stops men from moving in to covenant relationships, from moving into accountability. It's important that we have friends, y'all. You can't do this by yourself. Do not miss a gathering meeting. There will always be an excuse. And I'm saying gathering because that's our college ministry. Whatever your college ministry is, there will always be an excuse. I'm going to be honest with you. There's always going to be a test. But to me, that shows there might be a lack of planning there. You're trying to cram in one night for a test that you knew the whole semester about. The teacher didn't put the whole syllabus. You're going to have a test right here. And so all of a sudden, it's gathering or college ministry night. You're like, ooh, I can't come. Now, last night, you was at, you know, what's that, PJ's or whatever the new little chicken place is. PQ. Thank you, sister. Okay. So, you know, you out there, you eating and you chilling. And that whole weekend, you just partying it up, you know, and all this stuff like that. At the food. You was at the food and doing all this. And then all of a sudden, you over here and you realize, I have a test tomorrow. I haven't studied. And your excuse, that's your excuse for not coming. Plan. Amen? You plan for what's important. I'm going to tell you right now, I am important to my husband. We are busy people. I work full time. I'm a full time wife. I'm a full time mom to two boys that are 10 months apart. You hear me? And they're both under the age of 2 years old. None of them are 2 yet. It's just... Oh, that just boggles my mind. But yes, it happened. They're not twins. Okay. So I have a busy life and I'm involved in ministry. My husband and I are over the kids church ministry. We have a busy life, but you know what? It is no doubt anybody's mind who's priority. Jesus and each other. There's no question. And so you make time for what's important to you. You've got to see women as important. Women. And I keep pressing this because I believe this is so important. This is not to come down on you. This is to encourage you. This is an older woman teaching a younger to help you because you need accountability. You need other women. And I'm telling you, it's going to take work. It's going to take effort. And it's going to take pain. It's not fun. It is easier. I'm going to be straight up. Me, y'all, if y'all knew me in high school, I was like borderline tomboyish. Like, seriously, I play sports. I play basketball. So you can just picture it already. Okay, so I play basketball. I play sports. I did all this stuff. It's more comfortable sometimes to be around the guys. You know what I'm saying? But you have to force yourself. And I had to force myself in some areas and some ways to develop relationships. And it takes you being friendly. God promises if you are friendly, you will make friends. I encourage you. I got 2 minutes. I'm going to be obedient, Lord. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it, Jesus. I encourage you, each and every one of you, before you leave, a young man, make yourself vulnerable and get another man's number, email, and set up a time today. Don't wait where y'all going to hang out. Yeah, how many brothers have been here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Mr. Tyler just walked out. Y'all set up a time to get together. You got to work at it. Ladies, y'all get a group of ladies. Y'all get together. You've got to work at it. Don't find somebody that's a quality of God and go after them. Don't just get with them because they're in your class or because they're at your church. Find people that will help you grow. Amen. And as we grow, as we move forward, as we don't have judgmental thoughts, even though people have judgmental thoughts against us, we will bear fruit. And for some of you, this is the reason right now why you don't have the fruit of God in your life. Because you think girls are messy, you don't want to grow, and there's pride. But we're going to lay that down today. In Jesus' name. We're going to have a time of question and answer. I'm going to let Ms. Jazz come up, but I got to be led by the Spirit. I got like 0.45 seconds. Okay, so we're just going to bow our heads right now. And we're going to allow God to check our hearts. This is an issue with you. Again, this is not me coming down on you. Many of the things I told you about were things in the Word that God's convicted my heart about, okay? So this is all of us. We're still growing and learning. But for some of you, this is the reason why you keep coming in and out. You think the church is the problem. You think your boss is the problem. You think the youth pastor is the problem. You think it's your friend that's messy is the problem. No, it's your heart. God wants to change your heart. And he wants you to know that this is my system. This is my order. This is the sovereignty of God, that I want you to have relationships with others. You need relationships with others. Some of you have been hurt by people in the church. Some of you have been hurt by friends. And you've said, forget that. But you've got to make yourself vulnerable. And God will give you the wisdom, the right people, as you begin to understand that you put your hope, your affirmation, and your trust in Christ. And if this is you, and you know that you want God to change your heart in this area, I just want you to lift your hands to him. Just lift your hands to him. It takes humility. All it takes is you saying, God, I need you. That's it. Don't try to work it all out. Well, how am I doing? And you start getting scared and, oh gosh, you know, No, just trust him. Just trust him and be led by the Spirit. He's going to show you the right people. He's going to help you. No one's looking down on you. No one's condemning you. No one's judging you. I know you've been hurt. I know that person should not have said that. I know that person took your man. I know that person took your girl. I know that they did this, and I know they lied on you at your job, and it happened this, this, and this. But you know what? God wants to heal you. And in that, he's going to turn that around to bear fruit in your life. So, God, you see every heart and every hand that's open right now to you, that's lifted to you. God, we admit, God, that we're scared. We're just straight up scared stupid right now, just straight up scared, because we know in covenant relationships, we have to make ourselves vulnerable, naked, unashamed. God, we have to, Lord God, be willing to risk the pain. But God, this is how you ordered it. And you say, God, that we need friends. We need people. We need older women and older men in our lives. And that's not just age. That means accountability. That means spiritual development. God, we need that in our lives, but we're scared, God. So God, we ask you, God, to forgive us. Forgive us, Father, of saying as young women that all women are messy and we don't need them in our lives. Forgive us. Help us to have good covenant relationships. Forgive us for being nasty, God. Forgive us, Lord God, for treating women, Lord God, in a way we should not have treated them. God, forgive us, Lord God, as men, Lord God, not treating our sisters, God, as the way we should treat them, Lord. Trying to fill a void, Lord, that maybe I'm not in a relationship right now, but if I can just have some girls around me, then I'll feel better about myself as a man. Forgive us, Lord. So we give it to you. We surrender to you. Help us, Lord, to now walk in obedience, that we won't just hear this session and that be it, but we will strategically, purposefully, Father, go after people to develop relationships, to not only receive instruction, but to pour into other people. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.